Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me Putri to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, starting from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, we have Indonesian pop songs. Well listener, I will begin with Newsline. Stay with us Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service with the news. First, the headlines. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said discrimination against crude palm oil behind the SDGs issue must be fought. Observer said retaliation against European Union on palm oil discrimination is the right step. The General Election Commission KPU explains the cost of pollster working unceasingly. The National Institute of Aeronautics and Space said development of N219 plane to boost domestic components. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla said Indonesia is one of the largest palm oil producers in the world. More than 16 million citizens are involved in oil palm plantation and industries. However, the sector continues to face discriminatory treatment from a number of countries, especially European countries. The Vice President official page conveyed this in the session 3 of the Leaders Roundtable Belt and Road Forum entitled Promoting Green and Sustainable Development to Implement the UN 2030 Agenda in Beijing. On Saturday, the Vice President added that discriminatory treatment of crude palm oil was applied in the name of sustainability issues. According to Yusuf Kalla, palm oil has a significant contribution in achieving sustainable development goals in Indonesia. The discrimination certainly will affect the achievement of these development goals. Therefore, the Vice President stressed this must be opposed. Meanwhile, economic observers of the Institute for Development of Economic and Finance, Eko Listianto, said the retaliation efforts in trade between countries within the framework of World Trade Organizations against the European Union on oil palm discrimination are the right steps. Eko Listianto, in a statement received by Antara in Jakarta on Saturday, explained that the European Union protectionism policy was an effort to protect vegetable oil products from the region. Therefore, even though trade retaliation could cause harm to both parties, without any resistance, discrimination made by the European Union would be even stronger. Eko Listianto also reminded the importance of the formulation of retaliation steps, one of which was to choose restrictions on imported products in order to provide a strong signal for the European Union. According to him, these goods do not have to be high-tech products, but can also be food and beverage products. Chairperson of the General Election Commission KPU, Arief Budiman, acknowledged that many parties protested the working hours of polling group organizers, or KPPS. They had to work without stopping during the election. In Jakarta on Saturday, he stressed there was a reason for the overloading of the polling group workload. As quoted by the Republican Online, Arief Budiman explained the commission was actually in a position to carry out the Act No. 7 of 2017 election law. The Constitutional Court ruling allowed the General Election Commission officers to complete the vote count until 12 noon the following day, so that there was no legal debate about the vote count. However, Arief acknowledged that the situation on the ground sometimes made the rhythm that was set up not to work properly. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The National Institute of Aeronautics and Space, or LAPAN, believes the development of N219 aircraft will encourage domestic industry to supply components of the aircraft. LAPAN Chief Thomas Jamaluddin said the certification of N219 aircraft is expected to be completed this year so it can be produced next year. Unless the N219 amphibian aircraft is developed soon, foreign aircraft manufacturers will grab the domestic market for this kind of aircraft. The N219 aircraft is still under certification phase to ensure its reliability and function during its operations. Quoting his discussion with international aircraft industry, Thomas said the period of 3 to 4 years is too short to develop and certify the aircraft. However, Lapan is upbeat about achieving the target of accelerating the development of N219 aircraft. The first prototype of the aircraft has a maximum speed of 210 knots and a minimum speed of 15 knots. Hence, the aircraft can be controlled while flying over hilly ground and mountain range at low speed. Airport Management PT Angkasa Pura I stated the results of the assessment of the potential risk of flights said Yogyakarta International Airport in Kulon Progo Regency Special Region of Yogyakarta was safe for flight. Antara reported, spokesperson for the Yogyakarta International Airport project, Agus Pandu Purnama, in Kulon Progo on Saturday explained that the statement was the result of the last meeting of the flight risk assessment that was followed by all airlines operating in Indonesia except for Air Wing. According to him, the flight to Yogyakarta International Airport is constrained by slot licensing, but technically it is finished. The Indonesian Ministry of Industry facilitates 411 small and medium industries to improve the quality of their product packaging through the Packaging and Brand Design Development Clinic. Ministry of Industry Director General of Small, Medium and Multifarious Industries, Gati Wibawaningsih, through a press release in Jakarta on Saturday, as quoted by Antara, explained this public service unit provides guidance and consultation on packaging design development for small and medium industry products so as to increase added value and selling value. She added, modern markets in Indonesia have implemented packaging standard. Last item, Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, accompanied by Transportation Ministry Budi Karya Sumadi and legendary singer Titiek Puspa, launched a Clean Indonesian Movement on Sunday to reduce plastic waste. Environmental lesson will be included in school curricula for elementary, junior, and senior high school students. Meanwhile, Minister Sumadi said he would coordinate plastic reduction program in the land, marine, and air transportation sectors, including in trains. He also said that the sea is not a trash bin, therefore one must never throw waste into the sea. Despite several benefits that plastic have offered and made life easier, plastic use has environmental consequences, which as land and marine pollution due to plastic waste and deaths of wildlife after ingesting plastics or becoming entangled in plastic trash. Plastic has toxic pollutants that harm the environment and cause land, water, and air pollution. It can take hundreds, even thousands of years for plastic to break down, so damage to the environment is long-lasting. To end the news, here are the main points once again. Vice President Yusuf Kalla says discrimination against crude palm oil behind the SDGs issue must be fought, while another observer said retaliation against the European Union on palm oil discrimination is the right step. The General Election Commission explained the cause of pollster working unceasingly. Development of N219 plane to boost domestic components. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih from Voice of Indonesia to the World.
Voice of Indonesia.
This week's spotlight is on Belt and Road initiatives to use B2B schemes. Maritime Coordinating Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan ensured that projects included in the Belt and Road Initiative program initiated by China will use the business-to-business scheme or B2B. Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, as quoted by Antara in Jakarta, on Wednesday said that the current cooperation was not in the form of intergovernmental but between business entities directly on the project. So the role of the government here is only facilitating. Luhut Binsar Panjaitan emphasized that the projects were purely business to business, in which the Indonesian and Chinese governments only facilitated the meeting of each business entity from both countries. According to the Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs, the government is conducting a feasibility study with Chinese investors for several projects to be offered at the Belt and Road Initiative Summit. Luhut Panjaitan arrived in Beijing on Wednesday morning to attend the Belt and Road Initiative Summit, or the Modern Silk Road, accompanying Vice President Yusuf Kalla. During the summit, the Indonesian government also wanted to conduct a study on how China built its industrial roadmap. In this case, the Indonesian National Development Planning Agency will be involved so as not to repeat the mistakes of other countries in building their industries. Belt and Road Initiative is a project initiated by China to knit modern Silk Road with other countries. With the project, China arranged new trade routes and connected the closest areas. In addition to attending the international conference, Yusuf Kalla also met Chinese President Xi Jinping and had lunch with Vice President Wang Qishan. After the meeting, Yusuf Kalla attended a number of dinner meetings and business forums up to art performances held by the Chinese government. During the visit, besides Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, a number of ministers also accompanied Vice President Yusuf Kalla, including Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education Nasir, as well as a number of vice presidential officials. That was Spotlight of the Week from Voice of Indonesia to the World.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history will begin with April the 29th, 1949, Chairil Anwar dies. Chairil Anwar was a prominent young Indonesian poet who died on April the 28th, 1949. Together with Asrul Sani and Rifai Apin, Chairil Anwar was named by literary critic Habe Yasin as a pioneer of Indonesian writer 1945 and the pioneer of modern Indonesian poetry. During his life, Chairil Anwar has written around 94 works, including 70 poems. Chairil Anwar's last poem entitled Cemara Menderai Sampai Jauh was written in 1949, while his most famous work are Aku and Kerawang Bekasi. Turning to April the 28th, 1952, the China-Japan Peace Agreement is signed. The China-Japan Peace Agreement is a peace agreement between Japan and the Republic of China, ROC, or Taiwan, signed in Taipei on April the 28th, 1952, and entered into force on August the 5th of the same year. This agreement officially marked the end of Sino-Japanese War from 1937 until 1945. Under pressure from the United States, Japan signed a separate peace agreement with the Republic of China, which ended a formal war between the two countries with a victory for the ROC. The Taipei Agreement was cancelled unilaterally by the Japanese government on September the 29th, 1972. I'll end with April the 28th, 1989, International Workers' Day. Workers' Remembrance Day or International Workers' Remembrance Day takes place every year around the world on April the 28th. It is an international day to commemorate and act for workers who have been killed, disabled, injured, or made unable to work. It was an opportunity to highlight the prevention of many incidents of work and poor health and to promote union campaigns and organization in the struggle for safety in workplace improvement. 4 years commemorating events of the workers have been held in North America and later throughout the world. Since 1989, unions in North America, Asia, Europe, and Africa have held such events on April the 28th. That was Today in History from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Terho Poutianin in Finland. He was listening to our broadcast in English program through short waves on frequency 3325 kHz at 1300 hours to 1325 hours UTC on February 7th, 2019. Hello, Mr. Terho. Thank you for your reception report in detail and also your compliment. For you and other our regular listeners, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Cinta, meski tahu asmara kita takkan sanggup kemana-mana. Oh, 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 betapa bodohnya aku, tak bisa lari dari bayang-bayangmu. Seakan diriku terpenjara, oh kasihku. Meski di dalam hatiku
Voice of Indonesia.
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on KONI's meeting discusses preparation of PON and officiates for sports branches. The National Sport Committee or KONI meeting held in Jakarta on Wednesday, April the 25th, inaugurated four new sports branches in the membership of KONI. They consist of Sambo, Kurashi, Kickboxing, and Hapkido. The new four sports branches passed the administrative selections before being officially acknowledged. One of the administrative requirements is the mandatory of having 19 executive branches across the country. Besides officially announcing new members, the committee agreed to appoint Edi T. Hendratno as chairman of the Indonesian Sport Arbitration, with Mulyani and Adi Suyatno as the members. During the meeting, the Executive Committee of the National Sport Week or PON 2020, to be held in Papua, also presented its report regarding its preparation of organizing the biggest sport event in Indonesia. The presentation was given by Chairman of PON's Committee, Yunus Wonda. The host of PON stated that the preparation of the event is based on the procedure. In addition, the meeting also discussed the election of KONI's new chairman as Tony Suratman, the incumbent chairman of KONI, will end his term of office by the end of 2019. Meanwhile, KONI is still reviewing the proposal of eSports surfing and orienteering signing up to be members of KONI. The review aims to check the administrative requirements that are yet to be fulfilled by the three sport branches. KONI's chairman, Tono Suratman, in a press release in Jakarta on Thursday, stated that the administrative requirements that must be fulfilled is the mandatory of having 17 branch executives across Indonesia. Meanwhile, eSports, which is still new sport branch and favored by younger people, receives more attention from the Ministry of Sport and Youth. The commitment to improving the new sport branch was realized by the implementation of national training and certification of eSports referee in Jakarta from April the 24th to 29th. That was My Indonesia Today. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih from Voice of Indonesia to the World.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we will reply an email from our regular listener, Deba Kamal Hazarika in India. He was very diligent in sending reception report of our broadcast. Hello, Mr. Deba Kamal Hazarika. Thank you for your appreciation and attention on our broadcast, especially English program. For you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Antara kau dan aku. Tak perlu kau tanya lagi, siapa pemilik hati tahu pasti dirimu tolong lihat aku dan jawab pertanyaanku mau dibawa kemana hubungan kita jika kau terus
of Indonesia.
And it was a first voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. This time I will take you to Mojokerto to visit one of the popular tourist destinations in East Jawa, namely the Sleeping Buddha statue, which is 22 meters long and 6 meters wide and 4.4 meters in height. The Mojokerto Sleeping Buddha is located in Bejijong Village, Trowulan District, Mojokerto, East Jawa. To get to the location, you can travel to Jombang. After you go through the Trowulan intersection, you just straight to Trowulan Sub-District Office and the left side of the road. Then follow the direction to get to the place of the Sleeping Buddha statue. The statue is not only huge, but beautiful as well. It is coated with gold paint, which symbolizes the death of Siddhartha Gautama or Buddha. The statue was built in the direction of the main Buddha's kiblat, which is in the south. The large size has been credited by then Indonesian Record Museum MURI as the largest sleeping Buddha statue in Indonesia and the third largest Buddha statue in the Asian region. Vacation to the location of Sleeping Buddha in Mojokerto is quite pleasant because in addition to the atmosphere, which is very calm, visitors can also enjoy the beauty of the buildings in the monastery. The Buddha statue is surrounded by a pond with hundreds of koi fish and lotus plants that attract the attention of visitors. In addition, there are also various sculptures and miniatures of Borobudur temples, while inside the temple complex is used for Buddhist prayers. On the back wall of the main building, there are also large reliefs recounting the story of the life of Siddhartha Gautama or Gautama Buddha. Although this temple is functioned as a place of worship, there is no prohibition for other religions visitors to enter the temple provided that they are not noisy. In the Sleeping Buddha tourist site, there is also a shop that provided typical Buddhist accessories, a large parking lot, and also a place to sell food that provides various types of East Java culinary. If you come before the Vaisak holiday, which is the Buddhist holiday, you can see the ritual cleansing of the Sleeping Buddha statue, which will begin with a prayer together. This was Indonesian Wonder today. Tomorrow we'll meet again. This is Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we continue to reply an email sent by S.B. Sharma, also in India. He was listening to VOI's program through Era Replay apps. He said that it was fantastic. He enjoyed it a lot. Today's program was full of knowledge, information, news, and education. Hello, Mr. Sharma. Thank you for your compliment. Hopefully, you always keep listening and sending your reception report to Voice of Indonesia. Thank you. Well, listener, wherever you are, for you, we will play a beautiful song. Happy listening.
Kau memilih hatiku, aku tak akan.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to miscellany. Today's edition will be about Bogor Botanical Garden showcase dozens of new plant types. Stay tuned. Kebun Raya Bogor, or the Bogor Botanical Garden, is a paradise for various types of plants and is the oldest botanical garden in Southeast Asia. It is located in the city of Bogor, West Java, and has an area of 87 hectares with around 15,000 types of tree and plant collections. Aside from being a place of conservation and education, the Bogor Botanical Garden, which is managed by the Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, is also one of the most visited tourist attractions. On Thursday, April 25, 2019, the Bogor Botanical Gardens showcased dozens of new plant species. The exhibition took place during a press tour. There were three new types of plants, namely begonia, kemuning, and hoya. Acting head of LIPI's Plant Conservation and Botanical Garden Center, R. Hendrian, said the disclosure of the new plant species contributed significantly to plant conservation and provided a new understanding of the diversity of Indonesian plant species and their resources. According to him, the implementation of research and conservation functions continues to be strengthened, in addition to still paying attention to other duties in accordance to presidential regulation concerning the botanical garden. On the occasion, 32 new types of Begoniaceae flowering plant species were exhibited, which were the results of expeditions and research over the past 10 years. According to him, it is estimated that Indonesia has more than 400 begonias from almost 2,000 species found in the tropical regions of the world. Another new type on display was Muraya cyclopensis of kemuning plant. The last was the discovery of 10 species hoya plants. As an ornamental plant, hoya plants are usually planted in hanging pots. Especially for this type of plant, research was conducted from 2014 to 2019. Press tour participants also visited the Bogor Botanical Garden Herbarium facility with a collection of 50,000 preserved plant specimens, mostly in dry form. Listener, that was miscellany for today. See you next time.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, before we end our listener's mailbag, we inform you that we have a new program on RNNet. This program is broadcast from Monday to Friday at 2000 hours to 2030 hours West Indonesia time, or 1300 hours to 1330 hours UTC. This program enables you not only listen, but also watch our program just like watching TV. And this is how to access VOI English News Service via RN Replay. First, download RRI Play mobile application from Google Play. Open RRI Play application, choose RRI Net, and you can enjoy our program. Well, listener, actually we have received many emails, but unfortunately we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to the Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5 Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5 Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. voi@voinews.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia. Or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Putri Safiradala. Thank you for listening and we will meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
Namun apalah artinya cinta pada bayangan. Pedih aku rasakan kenyataannya, cinta tak harus selalu miliki. Ku menunggu dalam bimbang, adakah sungguh yang kau inginkan. Biar aku yang pergi, bila tak juga pasti. Adakah selama ini aku cinta sendiri? Biar aku menepi, bukan lelah menanti. Namun apalah artinya cinta pada bayangan. Pedih aku rasakan kenyataannya, cinta tak harus selalu miliki.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Sama-sama, sama-sama tahu, ada saja.
Kata orang yang baik belum tentu terbaik. Berulang kali coba pergi namun aku berbalik. Ku sendiri, kadang ku mencari. selalu pada untuk kembali. Mungkin berarti ini pertanda kau juara di hati. Kita sama-sama tahu bahwa kita sama-sama ragu, tapi ada saja yang membuatku yakin lagi padamu. Kita sama-sama mau kau dan aku mencari jalan.
Bersamamu bawa daku
it's time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.